Welcome to number 57 of the Greatness of the Kingdom and the Kingdom of God studies. We are now studying the Apocalypse. We're in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the Apocalypse, which means unveiling, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. The 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation remind me of a sermon preached so long ago. July the 8th, 1741, by the great minister and preacher and teacher, Jonathan Edwards. From 1701 to 1824, in the book of Revelation, these two chapters extremely and delicately elaborate on what is called the great whore of the book of Revelation, Babylon. It says that she sets upon many waters, which represents many people. She is also called the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. She appears as a great persecutor because she is said to be drunk with the blood of the saints of the martyrs of God. There have been many, many religious systems that are horrible through time. Every false religious leader has damned so many people to eternal hell. Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, Herbert Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, Charles Taze Russell. These men have greatly damaged the eternal souls of people. They're in a place of unrest forever. God wants all men to be saved. Catholicism was a monstrosity that evolved. As we look against our map here on the wall, we see how the Catholic Church at one time was a true church. The Church of Rome was a real Baptist church at one time, which really taught the doctrines of God. She evolved into a hierarchy that began to persecute. We know in 311 AD that Galerius, one of the Caesars, gave the true church's arrest, the Christendom arrest. By 313, we have Licinius and Constantine gave all the property back to the churches, the Christian churches that had been taken from them, the books, which were very, very valuable, the scriptures. Books were extremely valuable at that time. During this time, Constantine the Great had 50 volumes, 50 complete Bibles from the Greek language, the Greek Old Testament and the Greek New Testament, had them copied. We have three of those copies of that, Codex Alexandrius, Vaticanus, and Alexandrius, the Sinaiticus. If you go to discovertheWordwithDrJim.com, you can look over there and you can look up Codex Sinaiticus and you can see it, photocopies of it. The Catholic Church began to go astray. It's married the church into the state. Mariolatry, infant baptism was established by law. It began to persecute true Christians. Mariolatry was started. Indulgences, purgatory, saint and image worship, transubstantiation, infant communion, celibacy, auricular confession, the Inquisition in 1231. The Bible was forbidden in 1229 completely. These things happened. But in the book of Revelation, we have a horrible harlot, the mother of all abominations. Now, there are many religions that have vied for this terrible place in history. Catholicism, one. For over 1,000 years, Catholicism persecuted, killed, and murdered Christians, 50 to 100 million. Catholicism and Islam coexisted for quite a few years. Muhammad learned a lot of Catholicism tricks. He picked up every false doctrine from Gnosticism to try to prove that Jesus was not deity. The Catholic Church took the person and the deity of Jesus Christ and turned it into Mary and the apostles. Peter, John, the saints, saint and image worship. We worship saints and images in the Catholic Church, not God. Well, in the last days, Islam has a prophecy that says that the Mahdi will come forth when he's 40 years old. Islam has been looking for this Mahdi for 1,400 years. Then there's going to be a beast to rise out of Arabia, and then there's going to be Isa or Jesus of Islam to come forth. The Bible talks about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast. I don't think it's a coincidence that these two prophecies have come together. It's greatly possible that the church of the last day, that the abomination of desolation, that the great harlot could be Islam that's trying to take over the world today. That is the goal. Catholicism tried to do it. Muhammad failed as a prophet of God, but he succeeded greatly as a warmonger and a warlord. He brought his religion into the world not by convincing people to follow him, but by the sword, as Catholicism had for so long also. Catholicism became, their theology became so wrecked that they forbid the Bible in the language of the Greek, which was the universal language. Then they finally forbid the Bible altogether in 1229. If you try to fool people, you try to get them to follow something that's anti-God, you better take God's word out of their hands. The Islamic people say the Bible is corrupted. It's corrupt. You can't believe it. That's true. The Bible has been corrupted. It's called the Quran, Hadith, the Sunnahs. The corrupted Bible. The Word of God in the original language is perfect. Historically, medically, scientifically, geologically, geographically correct. No other religion that started religion can ever say that. The religious system is drunk with the blood of the saints and martyrs. Babylon appears as a religion and yet a political force. It's contrasted with the true saints of God as a filthy woman who is clothed in purple and scarlet and gold and precious stones and pearls. The true church of Christ is not Babylon, but the bride of Christ dressed in white, the righteousness of the saints. This city is both a city in a geographical region and a religion. A city, a political force, a nation, and a religion. I want to read some words to you, a very brief outline of the 10-point sermon before we go into the book of Revelation here. This is the 10-point sermons in brief that Jonathan Edwards preached in July the 8th, 1741. It's called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and that's what I want to kind of title this message tonight, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. A political system, a religious system in the hands of an angry God. God may cast wicked men into hell at any given moment. God wants all men, truly wants all men to be saved. But to those who will not believe, he has prepared a final place of unrest for them. It's called hell. When people die today, they go to Hades. But some one day, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, all of the dead, the double dead, the truly dead, from here to there, will be resurrected in corrupted bodies, suffering from all the ills that they died with. They'll be resurrected to suffer eternally in a place of torments. that place will be variegated. It will be a place of degrees according to their wickedness. And that will last forever, that eternal lake of fire. Let's see what Mr. Edwards said about sinners in the hands of an angry God over 200 years ago. 300 years, nearly. God may cast wicked men into hell at any given moment. The wicked deserve to be cast into hell. Divine justice does not prevent God from destroying the wicked at any moment. The wicked at this moment suffer under God's condemnation, John 3:18. John 3:18 is a beautiful verse. Let's read that right now. John 3:18. John 3:18 and John 3:36 both. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this judgment is that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. Verse number 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not believe, do not obey and does not believe, the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on them. The wrath of God shall eternally abide on them. The wicked at this moment suffer under God's condemnation, John 3:18, John 3:36, and many other places in the Bible. The wicked on earth at this very moment suffer the torments of hell. The wicked must not think. And what he's talking about the wicked here, he's talking about the unsaved, the uncovered. The wicked must not think simply because they are not physically in hell at this moment. That God, in whose hands the wicked now reside, is not at this very moment as angry with them as he is with those miserable creatures that he is now tormenting in Hades, and who at this very moment do feel and bear the fierceness of his wrath. Number five. Point number five. At any moment God shall permit him, Satan stands ready to fall upon the wicked and seize them in his hand as his own. Number six. If it were not for God's restraints, there are in the souls of wicked men hellish principles reigning which presently could kindle and flame out into hellfire. We see for 1,000 years, we see mankind under the hand of God ruling this earth as a rod, with a rod of iron. But at the end of that 1,000-year reign, this sermon is still good, because some will not come. Number seven. Simply because there are not visible means of death before them at any given moment, the wicked shall not feel secure. Never are we given 1 second more in life. You have what you breathe. You have the heartbeat that you have, and nothing more. Nothing more is promised. Simply because it is unnatural to care for oneself or to think that others might care for them. Men should not think themselves safe from God's wrath. All mankind are subject to the wrath of God if they do not believe. All the wicked men, those that will not believe, may do to save themselves from hell pain shall afford them nothing if they continue to reject the person and deity of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Number 10. God has never promised to save us from hell except those contained in Christ through the covenant of grace. A writer said, one church in Enfield, Connecticut had been largely unaffected by the Great Awakening of New England. Edwards was invited by the pastor of the church to preach to them. Edwards' aim was to teach his listeners about the horrors of hell and the danger of sin and the terrors of being without Christ. Edwards described the shaky position of those who do not follow Christ's urgent call to the forgiveness of sins and trust in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. In the final section of Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Edwards shows his theological argument throughout Scripture, biblical history, invoking stories and examples throughout the whole Bible. Edwards ends the sermon with one final appeal. Therefore, let everyone that is out of Christ now awake and fly from the wrath to come. According to Edwards, only by returning or going to Christ, one can escape the stark, horrible wretches of the fate that is outlined in the descriptions of hell. Remembering these words, let's go to those that will not believe. Let's go and look at these people that will not believe. A religion that will shirk God no matter what. That will not believe. They keep blaspheming God. 17:1. And he came, one out of the seven angels, the one having the seven bowls. And he spoke with me, saying, come, I shall point out to you the judgment of the harlot, the pornes, the prostitute of the great, of the city, the one setting upon the waters many. This prostitute, this Babylon, setting upon many waters. They seek false gods. They seek a false god. They seek a false god. And they whore after that false god. And they whore after false doctrine. They whore after traditions. Fornicating. Fornicating with false religion and false Scriptures. 17:2. With of whom they practiced fornication, they fornicated, the kings of the earth, those that followed after this religious system. And they became drunk and under the influence of the ones down-homing inhabiting the earth, and out of the wine of the fornication of her, the perverseness, the twisted, perverted lies, what we might say earlier as the corrupted truths of the Bible. They have been stupefied with the drug of false religion and with the wine of this religion. Judges 2:11 forward talks about false religion. 17:3. And he carried away me unto a Eremoon, a desert, in spirit, out into the desert. Where do you think this great sea of sands is? The sea of sands. El Jezeel. And I saw a woman, this harlot, this bride of the Antichrist, setting upon a swift-running beast, red and scarlet, being filled with names of railing, of blasphemy, having head 7 and horns 10. I talked earlier about the 7 kingdoms. The 7 kingdoms and the 8th kingdom that was going to come. This same beast is found in Revelation 13:11. And the Antichrist and the beast are of the same religion. The same religion that has corrupted the world. Islam says that they have 1.5 billion adherents, believers in the world. 1.5 billion, that's the largest religion in the world, if this is the person. According to them, they are the one. They're going to have a Mahdi, they're going to have a beast, they're going to have an Isa, the Jesus. They're going to kill all the Jews, they're going to kill all the Christians, they're going to kill, put down all false religions, break the cross, and bring the world under Sharia law, under one last caliphate. The Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Islamic Empire, and then the eighth that shall be a revision of the seventh. Not Rome. It's Islam. Satan is guiding this false religious system with every ounce of his strength. Every power that he can get to take over the world and to glorify himself. He wants to be clothed with power and clothed with dominance. Islam says that Allah is the most proud one. The most proud one. Isn't it so funny that Satan is the most proud one? Revelation 21:10, 1:10, 12:16, 14, 21:10, 18:12, 18:16, 13:1, 12:3, 17:7, 9:12, and 16. Revelation 20, or Matthew 27:28. 17:4 in the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. And the woman, she kept on being, having been clothed around. It's peribeblemene. Nominative singular, feminine, perfect participle passive. She kept on being clothed with beautiful things. I have been in the Mosque of Omar. I have been many of those mosques all over the Middle East. Talk about gold and silver and precious garments and Persian carpets galore. I've been in many of those. In Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, Jerusalem, Hebron, Damascus. I've been in many of those mosques. They are elaborate, beautiful tile work, but all from the other side, all from the wrong side. Purple and scarlet, and having been gold-plated with gold and stones precious and margaritias, pearls. By the way, I'm reading this straight out of the Greek languages. In 1980, I translated the book of Revelation, wrote a commentary on it for my doctor of Bible languages degree. I'm reading from that translation. I changed my views since then on many things. That's a lot of time, 36 years. 1980, 90, 2000, 36 years ago when I wrote this. Having the cup, a golden cup in the hand of her, being filled with abominations of the unclean and the fornication of her. The word fornication there, it means perversity. Perverse. If you were an Adamic man, if you were a lustful man, many religions, Catholicism, paid her soldiers by all that they could rape and pillage they would be forgiven for, and all that they could steal and take, the pillage was hers. Muhammad said the same thing. Every one of the women you want to take captive, you can have four legal Muslim, free Muslim wives. You can have all the concubines that your hands can steal. If you go into a country that will not believe, you take their daughters, you take their wives, and they are yours. Because God, Allah, has given them to you. Of course, they had to give 20-25% back to Muhammad, to the caliphate. They gave so they could pillage, and they could bring the whole world by jihad into one final caliphate, which is looking for, they're looking forward to today. If you read the Quran, you're not going to find a book of peace. You're going to find a book of war and terror and pillage. Read the book, The Life of Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq. That's pro-Islamic, all right. You have to get it from Cambridge Press, I believe it is. He tells the truth, what really happened. He believed he was the apostle of God. You want to know what he did? You read that book. The unclean fornication of her, the bride of the Antichrist. And upon the forehead of her, a name having been written, the mystery, Mysterion of Babylon, the great, the mother of the fornicators and of the abominations of the earth. God warned his people against this. God warned Israel. They were taken off into captivity. God warns these churches today. That church that started out in Rome, was a true church. But she perverted, twisted, and became perverse. By the 5th century, she was really perverse. She was not worshiping the God that she began with. She's worshiping a God of their imagination. The mother of lies and liars. Genesis 11, we have the Tower of Babel. We have one world religion there. The mother of secret religions. We see there in Babylon, we see a preview of what's coming about. Ceramis gave birth to a son who she claimed she had conceived as a virgin, miraculously. The son was given the name of Tammuz. He was considered to be a savior of his people, a false messiah, hanging on the messianic promises of Genesis 3:15. And the fulfillment of the promises given to Eve. The legend of the mother child were incorporated into the religion rites and duplicated into many pagan religions. Even Islam worships Jesus, the mother, the son of Mary. Jesus, the son of Mary, is not the God of the Bible of Islam. Jesus, the son of Mary, as Catholicism and Islam looks at it, is not the God of the Bible. That's a Tammuz. Idols picture the mother as the queen of heaven. Catholicism calls Mary the mother of God. Islam calls her God's chosen one. The queen of heaven with a baby in her arms throughout the ancient world. Countless religious rites were introduced, promising religious cleansing. A priestly order surrounded the worship of the mother and the child. Tammuz was said to have been killed by a wild beast, but after it was brought back to life, a false representation of the resurrection. Chief priests of Babylon wore crowns on the form of their head of a fish. Dagon, the fish god. Dagon was the keeper of the bridge between the life and afterlife. Muhammad talks about the picture of hell, that bridge across the flames of hell. Everybody, according to Muhammad, every true Islam will be resurrected naked and they will have to suffer the flames of hell to purify them. Only Muhammad is raised and resurrected in a green robe, gown with a green turban. And he will lead some of those across. The only way that you can escape hell as a Muslim is to die in jihad. And then you get 72 virgins immediately, and you're into paradise, transported into paradise. Whenever they die, at that very moment, they're transported into paradise with 72 virgins, and they get to take 70 of their people. They get to be intercessor for 70 of their people to take them and bring them into heaven. The title Pontifex Maximus was used by first Constantine the Great, the Roman emperors, later by the Pope, now known as Pontifex Maximus. Confusion of the snake and the pagan relics. Fermented in the wine of Roman Catholicism and Islam until you see the great mystery religion today. God warned his people of old not to tolerate or mix with a pagan religions in Ezekiel 8 and 14, Jeremiah 7 and 18, Jeremiah 44, 17, 19, and 25, and Zechariah 5, 1 through 11. And I saw the woman being drunk out of the blood of the saints and from the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And I wondered, having seen her, with a great wonder. How did all this happen? 17 and verse 7. And he said to me, the angel, because of what you have wondered. Why are you wondering? And I shall tell you. I shall tell to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast, the one carrying her. The beast. That swift running beast carrying this religion. In the Bible, we have the Antichrist. We have the beast. And we have the false prophet. In Islam, we have the Mahdi, the Iman, the 12th Iman, the Iman Mahdi. We have the beast coming out of Arabia. And we have Issa showing up. The one having the 7 heads and the 10 horns. Talk about that. 7 heads and 10 horns. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, Revelation 1:20, 17:15, 17:3. All cross reference to this. The one carrying the woman. Who is carrying all of these false religions from Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism? Who's carrying this? Who is convincing these people that this is the truth when God has warned them? Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell. All of these have Islam end time. They all have end time prophecies. All of them major on eschatology. The Jehovah's Witnesses want to go into the kingdom. They don't want to go to heaven now because all the 144,000 are gone. Now they want to go to the kingdom. They have these windowless assembly halls. Islam's going to bring in the end times, according to them. They're going to bring in the world under one world power by the Mahdi, the beast, and the Issa. Mormons got their white horse prophecy. They're going to bring America back to God and back to the Constitution. They're going to buy back America, and then through America, they're going to conquer the world and bring them into the one world of Mormonism. The beast which you saw, he kept on being, and not he is. He existed, but then he did not exist. And he is about to come back up out of the abyss. And unto the destruction he goes. The beast that was not. That seventh kingdom. The Roman Empire was sixth kingdom. The seventh kingdom that ruled, you know, the Bible is Jerusalem-centric. Nothing else in the world matters. America doesn't matter. Nothing matters to God, those that ruled the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, Jerusalem. You go all the way down to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, the Ottoman Empire under Islam, the Caliphate, and then the revised one that rose again out of that, if that prophecy is true. Unto destruction he goes. Daniel 7:7. Revelation 13:3, 12, 14. 17:11, 11:7, 13:11, 9:1. Psalm 6:28. Revelation 13:1, 13:10, 3:10, 3:8, 13:8. And they shall wander. They shall be caused to be in a state of shock. The ones dwelling, downhoming upon the earth, of whom not has been written the name upon the scroll of life from the foundation of the world system, the cosmos. God planned, God wrote, in eternity past, our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says God marked 144,000 Jews over there in that tribulation period to bring them through safely, plus more. It says that he marked the two believers with his name. And Islam says, according to the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sunnah, that the beast will mark those true believers of Islam with a name, the profession of faith. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. The number, the authority of that name. Figure it out for yourself. Think about that. They shall be caused to be in a state of stupor and shock, the ones dwelling upon the earth, of whom not has been written the name upon the scroll of life, the book of life, from the katabales, from the very planning of the world system. 17 and verse 8 still continued. Seeing the beast, that he kept on being and not he is, and he shall become for himself, literally, beside, he shall come again. Islam says that this Mahdi is going to be an exact reincarnation of Muhammad. His spirit will be in him. He will be a reluctant leader. He will begin to lead when he's 40 years old. And then the beast will come and help him to bring in the caliphate. He will begin to destroy the Jews and then to break the cross and destroy Christianity, because no two religions can exist. 17 verse 9. Hear the mind of the one having wisdom. The seven heads were seven mountains. Seven heads, seven kings, seven mountains, seven governments. They are. Where the woman she sits, seven great governments where the woman she sits. Upon them, and the kings, seven they are. The ones five, they fell. The one, he is. The other, not yet has come. Now, Jesus, when he was on the earth, the fifth empire was the Grecian empire. The sixth empire was the Roman empire. The seventh empire hadn't yet come. We know, historically, that was Islam. That was the Ottoman Empire, the Caliphate. The Caliphate was dissolved March 3rd, 1922. It was finishedly, completely dissolved by 1924. It says this empire is going to come back up. It says one is not yet come, and the other not yet come, and whatever he may come, a little while, it is bindingly necessary for him to remain. Going to last for a while. And the swift running beast, which kept on being, and not he is, even he is the eighth. And he is out of the seven, the seventh one. This eighth one is out of the seventh empire. What was the seventh empire? That's the caliphate of the Ottoman Empire, Islam. He is. Unto destruction he goes. The revision of the seventh empire. And the ten horns, which you saw, ten kings, ten rulers. They are, who kingdom not yet they have received. But authority, exousia, exousion, means without limits, as a king's, for 1 hour, for a short time, a brief stay, they received with a swift running beast. 17:13. These ones have one mind, have one mindset. Muhammad said there will not be any division in his empire, in his religion. All will believe the same thing. There is no division. It's of one mind. He will not tolerate differences of opinion. There's only one opinion. These of one mind they have. And the power and the authority of them to the beast they give. 17:14. These ones with a lamb, they shall make war. We have the war of two seeds here. The war of two seeds. The war of two seeds. In Genesis 3:15, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, said unto the snake, and the snake was actually embodied by Satan, the spirit of Satan at that time. He said, I will put active hatred between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise you, or you shall bruise him as to the heel, but he shall bruise you as to the head. Right there we have a statement that Satan will have a son on earth. That is a prophecy of the person of Satan having a son, an heir on earth. As God has an heir, Jehovah, in the flesh, Satan will have an heir. And that heir will war with the heir of God. These ones with the lamb, they shall make war. And the lamb, he shall conquer. This is the sacrificial lamb. He shall conquer them because the Lord of lords he is. Adonai Adonaiim. That's the Hebrewism here. Adonai Adonaiim. Psalm 136 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 10 and 17. Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 11. See if I can quickly find that. Psalm 136. Psalm 136. And verse 3. It says, give the thanks to the Lord, for he is good, in verse number 1. For his loving kindness is everlasting. And this is the term, the merciful one, that I said earlier in the book of Revelation that was translated incorrectly, not to the holy one, but to the merciful one. Of course, Jesus is holy too, but he's merciful. His loving kindness is for everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, the Lord of lords, Adonai Ha'adonaiim. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, again, Adonai Ha'adonaiim. For his loving kindness is everlasting. To him alone does great wonders. For his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heaven with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Deuteronomy 10:17 talks about the Lord of lords and King of kings. That's our Savior. That's our Jesus. It's not the Jesus of Catholicism. It's not the Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses. It's not the Jesus of the Mormon Church. It's not the Jesus of Islam. It's not the Jesus of Cardinal Ted Armstrong or Herbert Armstrong. Not the Jesus of Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science. This Jesus is a Savior soter cosmo, the Savior of the world. Jesus wants to save you this day if you don't know him. with him, the ones called and the ones chosen and the ones faithful. The ones called, the ones chosen, and the ones faithful. And he says to me, the waters which as you saw, where the harlot she sets, are peoples, Laoi. And crowds, O Cloyce, thousands, O Cloyce, is a great number of people. Thousands and thousands. O Cloyce is 5,000 to 10,000. O Cloy is much further than that, much more. And they are nations and they are languages. I want to say this to you also. Only a few percent of the Islamic world speaks Arabic. But they all have to pray in Arabic whether they know what they're saying or not. They have to recite their prayers in Arabic 5 times a day. God's people are supposed to pray always. One woman that was a convert to Islam said, I didn't pray at all when I was a Christian. She wasn't a Christian. She didn't pray. We have a lot to pray about every day. How many times do you pray a day? Every difficulty, every praise of God that you can say, thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Help me go through this little obstacle. I used to be a mechanic. I still am. I was a plumber. And I'd ask God, help me figure out this problem. And when I did, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praying all day long. We need to pray like that. Not 5 times a day. Muhammad, he said he went to heaven. And he went to the 7th heaven and went up there to Allah, where Allah was. And Allah told him to go back down and tell him to pray 50 times a day. 100 times a day. He'd go back down, he'd talk to Moses, and Moses sent him back up there, and he said, how about 40 times? How about 30 times? How about 20 times? How about 10 times? How about 5 times a day? And all of a sudden, you know best. Go ahead. 5 times a day. That's not enough, people. Praying 5 times a day is not enough. We need to pray always. Because there's many things out there in this world. How many people do you know that need to be saved today? How many of your family don't know Jesus? How many of your neighbors don't know Jesus? How many people that come to church where you are don't know Jesus? Pray for those. Pray for those. And as we look at this, as we look at these great words of the book of Revelation, he says to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and crowds. They are, and nations and languages. And the 10 horns which you saw, and the swift running beasts, the ones they shall hate the harlot. And having become desolate, they shall make her also naked. This religion is going to turn on itself. This religion is going to kill each other. They're going to blow each other up. They're going to cut each other's throats. They're going to behead each other. And the fleshes of her they shall eat. They shall consume in fire. They will burn. For the God he gave unto the hearts of them to do the mind of him. And to make one mind and give to the kingdom of them to the beast until they shall be brought to a finish, completed, the words of God. Verse number 18. And the Ginae, and the woman whom you saw, she is the city, great, the one having kingdom over the kings to the earth. There's going to be a one city, one world head, that is Babylon. Dr. Conrad Nathan Glover said so long ago, he said, people always say that this city is Rome. He said, I think it's Babylon. You know what? I second the motion. I think it's Babylon. I think it's that ancient city. Let me read to you one more time the plea that Jonathan Edwards gave, sinners in the hands of an angry God. People don't have to go this way. People don't have to. God wants all men to be saved. God may cast wicked men into hell at any given moment. You have no promise of one more minute, one more day, one more hour. The wicked deserve to be cast into hell right now. Divine justice does not prevent God from destroying the wicked, the unsaved, the rejectors, rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior at any moment. The wicked at this moment suffer under God's condemnation, John 3:18 and 3:36. The wicked on earth at this very moment suffer the torments of hell. The wicked must not think, simply because they are not physically in hell, that God, in whose hands the wicked now reside, is not at this very moment as angry with them as he is with those miserable creatures, souls that he is now tormenting in Hades, who at this moment do feel and bear the fierceness of his wrath. At any moment, God shall permit Satan, who stands ready to fall upon the wicked and seize them as his own. The Lord gave us a parable a long time ago. He said the sower went forth to sow, and he told him that's the Son of Man. And what he sowed was the word of God. And he said that a wicked one came and sowed tares in the field of the good man. And the tares came up and looked just like wheat. They're religious, all right. And his servants came to him, let's take up the tares. He said, don't bother the tares, just leave them there until the end of the age. We're in the tribulation period here. When all these people, there are going to be many people saved during this period of time, but there are going to be many that will just rail against God because of their wicked judgments that are falling upon them by the angels, the bowls of wrath. During this period of time right there, at the end of the tribulation period, it says that there was a parable of the dragnet. They drew a net out into the sea, and they drew it, and they had good fish and trash fish. They threw the trash fish into the fire, kept the good fish. There was a wheat, the parable of the tares and the wheat. They gathered up the tares and threw them in the fire. They gathered up the wheat. And then the sheep and the goats, the parable of the sheep and the goats. This one is happening now. At any moment, God shall permit Satan to stand ready to fall upon the wicked and seize them as his own. If it were not for God's restraints, there are in the souls of wicked men, unsaved men, God rejectors, Christ rejectors, hellish principles reigning, which presently would kindle and flame out into hell fire, simply because there are not visible means of death before them at any moment, the wicked shall not feel secure. Your heart can stop at any moment. You may breathe your last. You have no time given to you. You have no promise of tomorrow. If you're lost and saved today, accept the Lord as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Call upon Him to save you. A merciful, merciful God we have. If you leave this world without Christ, you will stay without Christ forever. Simply because it is natural care for oneself or to think that others may care for them, men should not think themselves safe from God's wrath. Number 10. God has never promised to save us from hell except through the person of Jesus Christ, through the grace and the blood of Christ, contained in that covenant of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto Christ, unto good works, that we should walk in them. We should walk differently after we're saved than we do before. Again, the final section of sinners in the hands of an angry God shows his theological argument all through the Bible, all kinds of examples of wicked men and wicked women. And he ends this sermon with one final appeal. Therefore let every one that is out of Christ now awake and fly from the wrath to come. This wrath is coming upon this earth. This is really for real. The world is set to go through this. We see it so plainly today. 36 years ago, I did not know near as much as I know about this subject right now. There's a time element learning. My master teacher, Dr. Carl E. Farrar told me, he said, children, students, you will know more if you live, because I'm not going to live much longer. He said, you will know more and you'll see more things from God's Word revealed to you than I can ever imagine in my lifetime. And he did. He said, you'll see fulfillment of these things. We see this in the world today. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee from the hands of an angry God. Flee from the hands of an angry God into the arms of the merciful one. Father, I send this message out. I send it out to call people to salvation, to call the saved to greater service. Forgive us for your failure. Save those souls out there with your word and with your convicting spirit. Help us to be vessels of honor. Help us to glorify you with our lives. Help us to lead others to Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. For thy sake, for our honor, and for your glory. Amen.